Good afternoon. 4:30 and 43 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
I know what the legislature's view is going to be on a lot of these issues, but I want to hear what Moorhead's view is on these issues as they come to the forefront.
State Senator Steve West is among the lawmakers who attended a forum on higher education issues today at Moorhead State.
AKA Steele loses money in 2016, but says it's in much better shape today than last year at this time.
And Frontier Housing announces plans for a new housing project in West Moorhead.
In sports, Rowan County High School is looking for a new football coach.
But Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy this evening, lows in the upper 30s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
AK Steel today reported a fourth quarter loss of $62.4 million and a loss for the entire year of $7.8 million. Despite the red ink, the results are an improvement from the previous year. AK lost over $145 million during the last 3 months of 2015 and posted a yearly loss of more than $500 million. The Ohio-based company's chief executive officer is Roger Newport. He says the firm is still being hurt by foreign steel that AK contends is being traded unfairly in the U.S. Newport says his company plans to work with the Commerce Department and the Trump administration this year on new trade cases in the hopes of further leveling the playing field.
We will continue to ensure fair trade. This is very important because we are making significant investments in research and innovation and in our manufacturing operations. We have made these investments to support the needs of our customers and to generate a return on those investments. In addition, our efforts will help keep jobs in America versus allowing other countries to export their unemployment to the United States.
Newport says he is particularly concerned about a trade case involving electrical steel that AK lost in November. He contends it's a matter of national security if the U.S. has to rely exclusively on China or another foreign country for electrical components that power the domestic energy grid. Foreign steels being dumped on the U.S. market were said to be partly responsible for the idling of AK's Ashland blast furnace in late 2015. That facility remains closed, and its 600 employees off the job.
Moorhead State University today played host to a group of area lawmakers to discuss matters important to the school and higher education. MSU President Dr. Wayne Andrews and others conferred with members of the House and Senate from both parties at the Center for Health, Education, and Research.
Our goal is to give them a little bit of history of Moorhead State University, talk about national issues in higher ed, and then how those issues translate locally in our state and affect our university. So we have a dialogue with legislators. That way, as we get into the session, which will start back up here in the second week in February, we'll have a kind of a common understanding of what we believe we need to work on.
Among those who attended the meeting was Republican State Senator Ralph Alvarado. He represents Clark and Montgomery counties.
This is not a budget year per se, but next year will be. And so there's always this is always a means of maintaining communication so that legislators are aware of the needs of the university. And we take that information back with us when we go back into session to talk about either changes or bills that are coming that are going to affect higher education.
Alvarado says Moorhead State's branch campus in Mount Sterling is important to his district, and he wants to know more about its needs and services, as well as those on the Bain campus.
The man who led Moorhead State's presidential search and advisory screening committee says the process of selecting the finalists for the university's soon-to-be-vacant president's post was not easy. Board of Regents member Wayne Martin notes it began last March with 70 possible candidates. That list was cut to 47 a few months later when official applications became due. It was then whittled down to 10 in the fall and 5 in December. Those 5 were interviewed last week off campus, with the committee passing an unknown number of names from that group on to MSU's Board of Regents for its consideration. While that work was challenging, Martin credits members of his committee with great teamwork for getting the job done.
We did everything by consensus, and then where there was a gap, if 10 were kind of a consensus of the nine of us, and 11, there wasn't hardly a consensus, then that's where we narrowed.
MSU's Board of Regents is expected to name the school's new president by late March. Current President Wayne Andrews retires June 30th.
The city of Moorhead is partnering with a nonprofit organization to construct affordable housing on the west side of town. Frontier Housing announced a community block development grant in partnership with Moorhead today. Sherry Farley is president and CEO of Frontier Housing. She says 7 single-family homes will be built near Hill and Klein Court in West Moorhead.
This was a grant that the city got, and with the grant funds, the city purchased and tore down several homes that were in ill repair and is replacing them.
Those looking to apply for housing can check their eligibility by visiting Frontier's website at frontierhousing.org.
As Moorhead searches for Jill Parsons' replacement, it wants to make sure that some of the outgoing city planner's key duties are being taken care of in the meantime. Parsons leaves town next Tuesday to take a job with the Kentucky Housing Corporation. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says he and other officials will meet tomorrow with representatives of the State Department of Housing, Buildings, and Construction. That agency will temporarily take over Parsons' responsibilities as Moorhead's building inspector and code enforcement officer. Trent says that's important because that will prevent any possible work stoppages at the numerous construction projects going on in the city.
Obviously, there's going to be a gap there when he goes on and takes his new job and when we have someone else, so you have to have somebody fill that in. We don't want any delays or anything, and that's our goal. We've already talked to a couple of the folks that have those projects ongoing to assure them.
Trent says the search for Parsons' replacement will begin immediately. He hopes to have the job filled by March the 1st.
Flemingsburg's planned curfew ordinance should be ready for a first reading before City Council next month. Council members have been discussing the proposal since last summer when it was believed that a group of juveniles had vandalized a city park. Mayor Marty Voyers says the final version of the ordinance was being held up as council considered suggestions from the city's police department about possible misdemeanor charges for replete violators.
We were trying not to put any kind of harsh penalties as far as fines or that sort of thing, trying to keep it as simple as we could, but we were told that in order to be able to fully enforce it, we would have to have some kind of a class something or other misdemeanor. Anyway, something that would be enforceable in court if we were ever to have to go to that length.
The Fleming County Attorney's Office is currently reviewing the proposed curfew ordinance. It would bar those under the age of 18 from being on public ways, public property, or non-residential private property after midnight on Sundays through Thursdays and after 1 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. Some exceptions will be built into the ordinance.
High water on roadways is causing some problems for motorists in Martin County. Rex Endicott is captain of the county's rescue squad. He tells WYMT it's been especially difficult for people using Black Log Road in Inez.
I've checked it twice today, and right now is the highest it's been. We've had to get a few people out of the cars that's drowned out up here, pull them out, whatever, to go get them out of the water.
Endicott is suggesting that drivers find alternative routes and avoid heavily flooded roads until the water recedes.
A judge has ruled in favor of the University of Kentucky in an open records case involving its campus newspaper's pursuit of documents regarding a sexual harassment investigation of a former professor. Haley Hansen has more.
The judge reversed Attorney General Andy Beshear's opinion, stating the University of Kentucky had violated the state's open records law by refusing to release documents on the professor's case to the Kentucky Colonel. While UK President Eli Capilouto agrees with the ruling,
it's hardly a victory. Only a victory is going to be realized when we reduce the number of individuals who are sexually assaulted on this campus.
The professor involved has since resigned. I'm Haley Hansen.
A local lawmaker has introduced a bill to eliminate straight ticket voting in Kentucky. State Representative John Sims is a Democrat from Fleming County.
It's something I've saw the need for years ago as being a magistrate in Fleming County, and it's House Bill 157 is taking the straight ticket off the ballot. which would mean when you go vote, you have to go vote for each person that you want to vote for. So it's more about educating the voters to know who they're voting for than going and hitting one button for a straight Republican ticket or straight Democratic ticket.
Sims is not sure his proposal will get a hearing in the Republican-controlled legislature. He says its prospects would improve if he can get a Republican co-sponsor.
U.S. Senator Rand Paul says he hopes the next administrator of the Small Business Administration is a proponent of lower taxes and less regulation. The Kentucky Republican expressed those hopes in a hearing in Washington today to the person President Trump nominated to head the agency. Paul serves on the Small Business Committee. He told SBA nominee Linda McBannon that small and mid-sized businesses face considerable obstacles today just to stay afloat.
A moderately successful small business might be paying 39.6, income tax. But then in addition, you got an Obamacare tax. So you're like 43, 44 before you, God forbid, live in the Northeast and have a 12% state income tax on top of that. So I think there is a great burden.
Paul says regulatory costs are substantially reduced for all businesses when there are more of them because the expense is spread over a larger pool.
Kentucky Congressman John Yarmuth is defending the Affordable Care Act from Republican attacks in Washington. Paul Miles reports.
Republican Diane Black of Tennessee chairs the House Budget Committee.
After 6 years, no one can dispute that this law has been nothing but a series of broken promises.
The ranking Democrat on the committee is John Yarmuth of Kentucky.
Over the weekend, millions of people across the nation rallied against the dangerous policies of the new administration, including threats to our health care.
President Trump issued an executive order on Friday to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. I'm Paul Miles.
Kentucky's workplace injury rate is at an all-time low. MSPR's Victoria Adjei has more.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics says Kentucky employers have reported the lowest incident rate for non-fatal occupational injuries and illnesses in the state's history. The rate improved from 8.4 when it was first calculated in 1996 to a record low of 3.7 in 2015. The Commonwealth saw large-scale improvements in five industry-specific sectors, led by the sawmill and wood industry at 9.2%. The manufacturing injury rate improved by 9 points. The Labor Cabinet's Division of Occupational Safety and Health and Education and Training is leading the Cabinet in its efforts to create safe work environments for Kentuckians. This includes providing free consultation services for employers, training programs, and e-learning programs on the Labor Cabinet's eTrain website. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Victoria Agee.
And finally, this afternoon, the fourth annual Fight Against Hunger rally takes place at the Capitol Rotunda in Frankfort Tuesday, February the 7th. Tamara Sandberg is director of the Kentucky Association of Food Banks.
We're calling it our rally to solve hunger. It'll be at 1 o'clock in the rotunda, and we've got confirmed speakers. Attorney General Andy Beshear will be launching the Legal Food Frenzy, which is a campaign his office is sponsoring to encourage law firms and legal offices around the state to join in the fight against hunger. Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles will be giving an update on his department's hunger initiative.
Sandberg says about 17% of Kentuckians are food insecure, meaning that they're unsure where their next meal is coming from.
Taking a look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight we should have mostly cloudy skies in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy later on. Lows in the upper 30s. Later on tomorrow you can expect mostly cloudy skies, a slight chance of showers late in the morning, a chance of showers in the afternoon, highs of around 60 degrees, chance of rain will be at 50%. On Wednesday night we should have mostly cloudy skies, a chance of rain showers in the evening, then a slight chance of rain showers late, lows in the lower 30s, chance of rain at 50%, and on Thursday we should have cooler temperatures with cloudy skies, a slight chance of showers in the morning, then a chance of snow showers in the afternoon, high should be in the upper 30s, a chance of snow will be at 30%. Right now in Ashland it's 44 degrees, and in Flemingsburg it's 43 degrees. 43 degrees in Inez, Lexington is 44 degrees, Winchester is 43 degrees, and on the campus of Morehead State University it is 43 degrees.
4:45, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is great to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, about 2,800 people gathered outside the West Virginia Capitol in Charleston last Saturday to show their support for women's equality one day after President Donald Trump's inauguration. West Virginia Public Broadcasting spoke to some of those in the crowd and produced this audio postcard.
I'm Sydney McElroy, and this is my daughter, Charlie McElroy.
It's March of Parade.
My name is Mary Bolton. I'm always pleased when people are standing up for what they believe in. Whether we all agree on every issue, that's not really my concern. It's, I think, people that can come out and gather together in a civil way, we can begin conversations that make a difference and that change the course of our nation.
I'm Jessica Ball. I'm here so that my daughter has what she needs to have a good life, that her children and her grandchildren. I'm here for all West Virginians and all Americans. Just, we want our voices to be heard. Everybody has the right to love who they want to love and raise their children the way they want to raise them, to be healthy and safe.
I'm Parveen Kazi, and I'm a retired teacher but still working with for Board of Education. I live in Crossland, West Virginia for almost 42, 43 years. And I'm citizen. I'm here because I'm Muslim, and I don't want my religion to be mocked. I'm American citizen, and I want to be respected.
My name is Paula Butcher. I hope for equality for everyone. I hope to see us not go back in the past. I want to see us go in the future. I'm a little bit nervous about that, but that's what I hope for.
Everything that we've been fighting for years, I think, is at stake here. For example, fair, not just fair treatment and equal pay, but the issues with our economy, they affect us. As an African-American mother and grandmother, I'm concerned about the state of affairs in our country. I'm concerned about the rhetoric and what our current president has unleashed in our society, and I am determined to have a voice and to educate and to help other women, men, and children turn this tide around.
Those are some people who attended a rally in the West Virginia capital of Charleston last Saturday, and that piece was produced by West Virginia Public Broadcasting. 4:48, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg, presenting the Steep Canyon Rangers in concert with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m., Friday, February 3rd. The featured touring band for Steve Martin and Grammy Award winners for Best Bluegrass Album, the Steep Canyon Rangers blend high-energy bluegrass music with Americana mountain music. Steep Canyon Rangers with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m. on Friday, February 3rd at the Mountain Arts Center. Tickets and information online, Facebook, or 606-889-9125.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. It's one and done for Gene Peterson as Round County's football coach. After taking the Vikings to a 2-9 record last fall, Peterson is leaving to become an assistant coach at Morehead State University. Round's next coach will be the program's fourth in 5 years, and Principal Ray Ginter wants Peterson's replacement to be someone who will be committed to leading the Vikings for a number of seasons.
Exactly. You know, having somebody that's going to come in and stick around, you know, live in Morehead, be an integral part of the community, I think that's going to be very important for us in as far as our selection committee goes.
Ginter says the search for Round's next football coach will move very quickly and could be wrapped up as early as next week. Kentucky's fourth-ranked Wildcats have a 9 o'clock SEC game this evening at Tennessee. Even though the Volunteers are 10-9 overall and just 3-4 in conference, assistant coach Kenny Payne warns the young Wildcats shouldn't expect an easy night.
Tennessee can beat us. Regardless of what their record is, we're playing them at Tennessee. They're going to be hungry and aggressive against us. We got to go out and play well to beat them. It is what it is. They're a good team. They're a tough, scrappy team, and we got to defend and rebound and play Kentucky basketball and be efficient.
UK will be in search of its seventh straight win. The Cats are 52-48 lifetime in Knoxville. They beat Tennessee last year at Rupp Arena 82-70. Number 13 Louisville also plays tonight, looking to rebound after last Saturday's narrow loss at sixth-ranked Florida State. Rick Pitino's Cardinals will play at Pittsburgh for what the coach says will be another difficult ACC matchup.
Who do you get that's easy in this conference? You don't get anybody, so everybody's going to go through what we went through, and maybe everybody doesn't have to play Baylor, Indiana, Kentucky, Wichita State, Purdue, non-conference, but we did. So this type of grind can hurt you when you played all those games.
Louisville is 16-4 overall. Pitt is 12-7. The Morehead State men's basketball team will look to keep things rolling when they visit Tennessee Tech on Thursday. At 9-11 overall and 5-2 in conference, the Eagles have won 5 of their last 6 games. Thursday's game will start a stretch that will see MSU play 6 of their next 7 games on the road.
It's a gauntlet. This league is really tough. It's a hard league, but you wouldn't want it to be easy. You want it to be tough. You want to prepare every day and get ready to go to war with your guys. And they're excited. They're excited to go on the road. They get us fired up, about playing on the road and in front of other people's crowds almost as much as they do their own.
Tennessee Tech is 8-14 on the year and 4-3 in the OVC. They will be out to end MSU's 3-game winning streak. The NCAA selection committee will now reveal the top 16 seeds in the NCAA basketball tournament early. The committee will reveal the top 4 seeds in each region of the bracket on February the 11th to that point in the season as the committee sees it to that point. The actual bracket will be revealed on Selection Sunday on March the 12th. With a home game against Tennessee Tech set for tomorrow evening at 6, the Morehead State women's basketball team remains in the thick of the OVC title fight. With 9 games to go in the conference schedule, Coach Greg Todd's 5-2 Eagles sit 2.5 games behind league-leading Belmont.
It's a long, long way to go, but the fun part to me is how balanced the league is 2 through 12. Anything can happen with any game.
Tech rolls into Johnson Arena tomorrow, holders of a 7-13 mark, but the Golden Eagles are 4-3 in conference and just 1 game behind the MSU women. Fresh off last night's 20-point win over Estill County, the Round County girls basketball team returns to Cooper Gym tonight at 7:30 for a game with Fleming County. The 8-10 Lady Vikings will carry a 3-game winning streak into the contest. Coach Elaine Douglas says they've overcome a lot to get their season back on track.
We've had 2 ACL tears, had a lot of flu, and so if we could ever get to where we could play the same 5 on the floor for a while, you can see they're beginning to get better, but they're just really young.
Fleming County is 11-9 this season. And finally in sports, recently trading 14-game winner Dan Shirley to Miami, general manager Dick Williams says the Cincinnati Reds got an offer they just couldn't refuse. Williams says the Reds weren't willing to deal the pitcher to the Marlins until they offered them 3 talented minor leaguers, right-handed pitchers Luis Castillo and Austin Bryce, along with speedy outfielder Isaiah White.
We identified some of these guys as guys that we absolutely were targeting. We made it clear that we wouldn't go forward, if we couldn't get access to those guys. And over time, they became available to us in the deal. They were not at first.
Castillo had been rated as the Marlins' 5th best major league prospect. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball will host Tennessee Tech tomorrow night and Murray State on Wednesday, February 1st. Both games are scheduled for a 6 o'clock p.m. tip-off. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386. Or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities rose with materials spiking more than 2.5% on the back of more executive orders from President Donald Trump. And the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 112.86, to finish at 19,912.71. The S&P 500 closed at a record high, as it was up 14.87 to finish at 2280.07. And the NASDAQ Composite also notched an all-time closing high, as it was up 48.01 at 5600.96. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 3-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. President Trump signed executive orders that will make it easier for TransCanada to build the Keystone XL pipeline and for Energy Transfer Partners to build the final uncompleted portion of the Dakota Access Pipeline. Five Dow components posted quarterly results before the bell. DuPont, 3M, and Johnson & Johnson outpaced Wall Street earnings per share estimates, but all fell short of revenue expectations, and there were mixed results, with DuPont up 4.5%. 3M was down 3M was down 1.4%, while Johnson & Johnson was down almost 2%. Telecom giant Verizon missed on the bottom line while topping sales estimates, while Travelers beat on both revenues and earnings. And Verizon was one of the big losers today, down 4%, while Travelers was down 1%. In economic news, the IHS market manufacturing PMI for January rose to 55.1 from 54.3 in December, lifted by a surge in new orders. Existing home sales fell 2.8% in December. Overseas European equities rose, with the pan-European Stoxx 600 index advancing about 0.25%. In the United Kingdom, the Supreme Court said that the government will need parliamentary approval to start Brexit negotiations with the EU. In Asia, equities were mixed, with the Nikkei 225 down about 0.5% and the Shanghai Composite rising almost 0.2%. Oil was down slightly, and gold was down 0.8% in today's trading. Among Dow industrial stocks, DuPont and IBM were your biggest winners today, and your biggest losers were Verizon and Johnson & Johnson. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Freeport-McMoRan and Qantas Services, and the worst performers were Verizon and First Solar. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $2.81 at $113.82, CSX up 70 cents at $46.69, AEP up 7 cents at $62.78, Marathon Petroleum up $1.34 at $50.06, AK Steel down 62 cents at $8.67, and Community Trust Bank was down 10 cents to finish at $46.45. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking an extended look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area. Tonight, we should have mostly cloudy skies in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy later on. Low should be in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, we should have mostly cloudy skies, a slight chance of showers late in the morning, a chance of showers in the afternoon, highs of around 60 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. Later on Wednesday night, we should have mostly cloudy skies, a chance of rain, showers in the evening, then a slight chance of rain showers late. Lows in the lower 30s, chance of rain at 50%. On Thursday, we should have cooler temperatures with cloudy skies, a slight chance of snow showers in the morning, then a chance of snow showers in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 30s, chance of snow will be at 30%. On Thursday night, we should have mostly cloudy skies with a 20% chance of snow showers, lows in the upper 20s. And finally, on Friday, we should have mostly cloudy skies with a 40% chance of snow showers, highs in the mid-30s. Right now, in Ashland, it's 44 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 43 degrees. Inez is 43 degrees, Lexington is 44 degrees, in Winchester it's 43 degrees, and on the campus of Morehead State University it's 43 degrees.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Moraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Xavier Adkins, Tilden Johnson, and Victoria Agee. Our feature this afternoon was produced by West Virginia Public Broadcasting. The Kentucky News Network's Paul Miles and Haley Hansen also contributed to our broadcast. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.